Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Poisoner's Cabinet. I'm Sinead.
And I feel sick.
And this is your weekly podcast exploring the lives of the great poisoners, macabre murders and captivating crimes from across the centuries and creating curious cocktails inspired by the tales that we tell. And it's episode 190.
Yay, it is.
Yay. And you're sick.
Yes. Today you're just saying vile things.
We had a little warm-up beforehand.
Yes, it was awful.
Before we start the podcast proper, I like to say terrible things to Nick.
Terrible things. Will haunt me till I die.
That's going to be a thing now. That's going to be a thing. After 190 episodes, I'm now going to start going, oh yeah, what can I really mess you up with just before I say welcome?
Fun times.
Yay!
Fun times.
How are you, Nick?
I'm all right.
Yeah, all right.
Well, yeah, I'm all right. I've recovered from that initial shock.
You recover well.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a brief shock.
You're robust enough.
Yes.
That's it. No follow-up whatsoever. I do not wish to be questioned further.
Don't put it that threat, Sinead.
Okay, good. Well, lovely. I will compliment you on your beautiful apartment flat at the moment because of all the art that you have added.
There's art.
It is quite stunning.
It is pretty art.
Now, some, and I stress some, of the Patreons do know what I'm talking about. Because on Book Club recently, which is a special Zoom chat that we do with our Patreon subscribers who were interested in the book club that we do, they all wanted to know about the pictures you've put up. And you sent me pictures during the book club chat, so I have revealed to some people, and they were blown away. They thought it was very, very beautiful, very, very beautiful. People were screenshotting to order the same kind of art that you have. It's coming together. I need to take pictures in here and film them because you don't understand to turn off lights while shooting pictures.
No,
because there was just reflection.
Well, mainly because I was lying on the sofa while doing it. these were not artfully taken photographs. It was me lying on the sofa going, I'll take a picture and send that to people.
Right. Yeah, very man way of doing it. Whereas I'd be standing upright, style it, and everything.
Yeah, no, none of that.
Very impressive.
I managed to clear the table of shit. So you get what you're given.
Well done. Any poisonings this week?
I think so.
No.
This week's got very quick.
Well, January is done.
Yes, January is done. It's now February.
Yeah, it's now into February. When we're recording this, it is St. Bridget's Day. And that's a very, not religious thing. It's more of a pagan thing. But it's a very, very good day. This time, everyone, if you're still feeling a bit blue, this is a great time to embrace the spring. Because spring is coming from this point. It is. There's beautiful imagery around. It's now the regrowth has started. You've all had your rest in January. The light is coming back. It's quite spectacular. Had an amazing sunset tonight.
Indeed,
as well.
That was very pretty. Yeah, walking home.
Yeah. But yeah, this week has gone quick.
Okay, so yes, no time to poison anyone, really.
We have said we poisoned our wallets somewhat this month, weirdly.
It's been an expensive month.
I know. What did we do?
Well, I bought a lot of art.
You bought a lot of art. I did a lot of house stuff.
So,
you know, repaired the steps so no one died.
That ain't cheap.
Oh, you're an arts person now, are you?
I just realised I'm not even started paying for that thing yet.
Oh, you know.
The first payment comes out this month at some point. So
shit, yes. He's got a piece of art that he hasn't even paid for
yet.
Yeah,
I know that. I just stole from him.
Because it's so expensive. Well, welcome to Art Chat.
Yes, yeah, so Art Chat with Nick.
This is
I'm now an expert in all things
sophisticated
art.
As it gets. We one art, please.
One art. I bought an art.
Oh, well, good. Well, speaking of spending lots of money on art and not knowing why and what it does, I think it's time for us to thank our delicious Patreon subscribers because they do pay money for art and they don't know why.
They pay for all the art, absolutely. So your money is well spent.
Very well spent, you sexy, sexy people.
So thank you very much. to the art. To Ellen Watson.
To Dawn Ravitzer.
To the arsenic enthusiast. Pretty nice, like it.
To Ophelia Rose.
To the Laudanum Lady. Oh, sorry, to Lady Laudanum.
Oh, my goodness me. Yes. And to Rachel Herron.
Marvellous. Oh, wonderful.
The arsenic enthusiast and the Lady Laudanum. Very, need to get together.
Yeah, absolutely. That was very good.
It doesn't have to be a sexy relationship. It just can just be friends. No, it can be platonic. We're not advocating that. But they should fight crime.
Or cause crime, I feel.
What? Or cause crime. Yeah.
I'm fitting with those names, some sort of villain, sort of esque thing. And you not many heroes point. Called arsenic enthusiast.
Every time they're dragged into the police station. I know what you're thinking. I can't stress this enough. We want to stop all of this. My name has inspired me to fight for the side of good. Okay, we've been poisoning people.
Yes, but I poisoned the criminals.
Lady Laudanum, I like to send people to sleep. This is great. We should write more of these as graphic novels. Hey. Thank you, you delicious, delicious, sexy Patreon subscribers. We had fun on Patreon this week. We talked about witchcraft. We had some witch trials.
Yes.
From the Elizabethan era. From old dear old ones. Essex. Yes. It was lots of fun. And an interesting trial, less about the tortury stabbiness, more just the power of persuasion.
One thing that I did take away from that, which I was thinking while you said it, is like, why do these things happen in Essex?
Yes.
What is it about Essex? Because obviously Matthew Hopkins and all that sort of thing, all Essex and all those sort of witch trials. Yes, there are ones elsewhere. You have Pendle and all these sort of things, and some down in Cornwall. But there is a concentration in sort of the Essex, Suffolky sort of area, which I thought, that's most intriguing. I wonder where that is.
I believe very Puritan concentration in Essex at the time. Mm. Apparently it was quite a concentrated Puritan place. That might be lies. But Essex and Suffolk overspill from London to the coast.
But surely that would be less inclined towards the witchy shenanigans and things if you're coming out of London. From a more urban environment, you're perhaps less susceptible to such superstitions if you're in a very industrialised urban environment or urban situation.
Oh, it's a very interesting point. Or what if more people come into that area because they've moved out of London, you know, DFLs.
Did you get DFLs in the 16th century?
Fuck yes, you did. They were in there putting up their avocado shops.
DFL, anyone under there? Down from London.
Down from London.
Yes, the people from London who buy expensive houses so no one else in the other areas can buy them.
Yeah, they come down. They deign to come down, usually to the south and to the coast and everything. But yeah, okay, so the DFLs come out. And they realise all the witchy ways that are happening. All the rest of the area, the rest of the home counties and then into the Midlands and stuff. Oh, witches galore. No one's bothering because no one from London had come out and gone, no, you can't be doing this. They'd been doing this for centuries.
There must be some good Surrey witches. Some good home counties witches.
There's not a lot of Surrey witches, are there? So no, there must have been some. Oh. And also Essex... The start of Poison Panic.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all about Essex. Well, you know what? We've not had a proper Poisonous Cabinet trip to Essex.
Well, this is true. Perhaps we go to Chelmsford or something like that.
Oh, well, maybe a trip to Essex to get to the bottom of this.
Get to the bottom. We must go
and discover. Of all the witches and the poison that took place. Absolutely. Anyone from Essex who's listening, please weigh in and
let us know
your history. Well, Nick, are you ready?
Well, I think we should be.
To drink cocktails and talk about poison?
Yes, go on then.
Or... We could drink poison and talk about cocktails.
Ah, no, I'll drink.
Drinking. Let's go with the first one. Hooray, hooray, hooray. It is Nick's story this week, and we can't possibly have a story without a cocktail in hand. As you know, dear listeners, every week we choose a secret ingredient that is inspired by the tale that we tell, and it will flavour our cocktail of the week. Nick, your story, so your pick. Mm. The secret ingredient is
silk.
Silk.
A lovely bolt of silk.
Shimmers and shimmies and...
Shimmies?
Well, that's how I would describe silk as moving.
Okay, yeah.
No. Shimmies. It's got a lovely quality to it. I'm doing a lot of hand gestures, which are really useful on a podcast.
Very scary hand gestures.
They're nothing to do with silk. I'm just flicking bees at Nick.
Very upsetting.
Yeah, silk. Lovely, lovely.
Yes.
Yeah, very nice. That's the end
of that conversation. Yeah, it's silk.
Silk, fabric, lovely. It's soft and nice. Silk pillowcases we should all have, apparently.
Okay.
Good for the skin. And get a silk scrunchie, not you, to tie up your hair.
Oh, I want a silk scrunchie to tie
my hair.
I think
you should. I'd love you to have a silk scrunchie.
That'd be great.
I'd just come around every night and go...
Me and my silk pyjamas and my silk sheets.
Oh, yeah. Would you have silk sheets?
No, it's too slidey.
What? Slidey. Sorry, you just careering off the bed.
Whizzing around all over the place.
Because it's meant to... Is it Saturn or...
Oh, it's Saturn, isn't it? I suppose it's Saturn.
Would you have silk sheets?
Oh, God, no. Probably, no, I don't think... No,
I don't think you can afford
Saturn,
silk sheets.
Yes.
Saturn, you get on it and go, come here. Whoa!
It's just like falling out the other side.
Trying to maintain momentum is the sexiest part.
Yes, I'm very, very, very sexy. I'm on the floor.
Great. With that image firmly in mind, what have you come up with?
Well, we are having...
We are having...
A Silk Road.
Silk Road?
Silk Road.
So what's the reference Silk Road?
So it's got silk in the title.
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking of the Spice Road, aren't I?
It's the same thing.
Is it? But what is that, though?
So, okay, so okay, this has got nothing to do with the story. It's just that it had silk in the title and it sounded interesting. But the Silk Road, yes, same as sort of the trade routes from China.
Right, right.
Back in the day when it was all done overland by camel and elephant and what have you.
Jesus.
That was the Silk Road bringing spices from the Orient into Europe and Italy and France and such like.
Delightful. I'm sure, yes, the animals were used at one point. There were vehicles and they were like, no, we will continue with
camels all the way.
Camels and cats.
Yeah, absolutely. Trade routes across the continents.
Thank you for that bit of history. It sounds elegant. It sounds nice. Shimmy.
Slidey. They just slid for thousands and thousands of miles.
So they just rolled out the silk and it was a slip and slide. Woo!
Yeah. Just off they went.
Well, with that
knackered
in mind,
worms, Chris, weaving in front of them.
One giant worm behind me. Christ!
As they went.
Yeah! I think it is high time for us to slide, shimmy, however you wish to choose, into the poisonous cabinet kitchen and shake up a storm. So we'll see you in a minute.
We'll see you in a bit.
And we're back.
Hello.
Well, Nick, we have the Silk Road.
The Silk Road.
It's been a long and shiny road.
A long and shiny, shiny journey.
Many people have died falling over. But it's very nice. It's orangey.
It's an orangey hue.
Amber hue. You get silk and amber. I suppose you could have it
dyed. Whatever colour you like.
Okay. I'm looking forward to this because I think we should get very drunk
tonight. Okay. Merry Christmas.
Okay. Merry Christmas. Let's dive right in.
Ooh.
I'll rinse it around the mouth a bit more each time now. I've just started it. What the fuck?
What the fuck?
I just choked on my own saliva. Okay. Ooh.
Oh, no, that's very pleasant.
That had a really weird front taste, like immediate taste that reminded me of meat. But sorry. And that shouldn't be the first thing I say about this cocktail, because it's quite nice.
Or is that just all the sausages you've been eating this evening?
To be fair, I have been mainlining mini sausages, and I wonder why I suddenly taste sausage. Oh, that's not a phrase I should say. Oranges. I'm getting oranges.
There's no orange in there.
Is there not? No. Really? Well, don't eat 10 mini sausages before you have a cocktail. It's very fruity.
Fruity.
It's just fruit.
Fruity.
It's
fruit. There's fruit.
Okay, second sip.
Just generic fruit.
It smells nice. Weird front taste. Nice, but...
I like that a lot. It's very nice.
It's very nice. It's sharp. It's got a savoury quality.
Savoury
first
twang.
Sip. Yeah. The rest of it, don't know. No triple sec? Okay, sugar. I know the sugar because you came in going, where's all my sugar?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Verbatim. Then you flipped the table over and went, come on, you Spurs.
Yes.
The sugar in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got that. Well done.
Lime.
No.
Lemon.
Yes.
Hey.
Well
Any
done.
Any other fruit?
Yes.
Maraschino.
No.
Banana.
No.
Silk Road. Spices.
Yeah, I won't go too hard on that.
No, okay. Lemon, limes, oranges. Apples?
No.
Pears?
No.
Stairs,
yes.
Stairs. There's no other fruit, Nick. There's no other fruit in existence. There's nothing. Shamble, like raspberries. Fuck you. Right, what's the base spirit? Gin?
Yes.
Yay! I was guessing there. I had no idea. Is there another spirit?
There are two.
Two? Rum?
Nope.
Vodka?
No.
Whiskey?
No.
Bourbon?
No.
Rye?
No. Think liqueur, don't think base spirit.
Right, I don't know.
This is getting painful
now, isn't it? No, shut you. No, it's not got herbally shit in it, is it?
Yeah.
Shit, has it got fucking chartreuse
no,
in it?
No, it hasn't got chartreuse
in
it.
Oh, thank God, thank God. Benedictine?
Yes.
Yay! I always get there in the end, don't I, with Benedictine?
Yeah, once you've listed every other possible drink known to man.
Benedictine, and then I'm on the home stretch now, Nick. We can just carry on
this. Yeah, right, one more to go.
Fuck. Liqueur.
Think fruity, that you have not yet mentioned.
Oh, God. There's no, no.
Do you want a pen and paper? Do you want to write a list? I know.
Is it a citrus?
No.
Right. Peach?
No.
What? There's no other fruits. There's no other fruits. Apricot.
Yeah.
Oh, is it apricot brandy? Or like,
Apricot brandy.
I should stop. I'm trying to keep going. Yeah. Southern comfort. No, I've gone too far.
God.
We got that was easy, wasn't
it? We got there in the end. So yeah, just a recap. Gin, Benedictine, apricot brandy, bit of sugar, some lemon juice, and some bitters.
Delicious. What a sophisticated
and it's
drink.
Very, very nice.
It's very nice. What's the savoury bit?
Well, probably the, some of the bitter herbally things you're going to get from the Benedictine.
Yeah, the Benedictine. It's really fronty. It's really front-loaded. Yeah.
You're going to get the, so I suppose the gin and the Benedictine are going to give you a more of a herbally thing.
Yeah.
And then you've got the sweetness with the apricot and the sugar and a bit of, it's going to cut through with the lemon. So yeah, it's very nice. Yeah, it's very nicely balanced.
Really well.
It's good. I like
really
it.
Well. Ooh, that's a hit.
It's a cocktail, but it's not too spirity forward, heavy, oomphy one like we usually have, which I like. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And it will kill you within two.
I mean, I think that's still quite strong.
Oh, it's still quite strong.
The quantity of lemon juice, I'm suspecting, is probably cancelling out what you would, if you took that away, and you'd be like, oh, Jesus.
But yeah, it's your average cocktail in strength sort of thing.
The Silk Road is quite splendid.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Nick, with our Silk Road's firmly in hand, as we traverse down the Saturn Road to really feck it off. Is it time for a story?
It probably should be.
Yay!
Hurrah, 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 hurrah.
Hurrah.
Hurrah. So this week, back on the gangs again.
Okay.
I'm on a gang frenzy.
Gang frenzy.
And we're going to talk about a woman who I have mentioned before in a couple of our episodes. And from reading about her, I think she deserves an episode of her video.
Oh, great.
So here we are. So this is the story of Frederica Mendelbaum.
Yes, you did mention her in The 40 Elephants.
Yes, and also she featured in The Adam Worth.
She did.
The Napoleon of Crime story, which is when I first came across her. Ooh. So yeah, I thought this is a fascinating character. And
fantastic.
That she is. So yes. So she's known as Mom to her friends.
Mom.
It's a woman who rose from absolute poverty to become the richest crime boss in New York City.
So this is
a real rags to riches story, which is fantastic.
Delicious.
So I'm hoping we will be friends. So I'm going to call her Mom throughout the episode rather than Frederica Mendelbaum, which is a bit of a mouthful.
It is a little bit of a mouthful.
So we're going to go with Mom, and I hope she'll accept that. Now, she has more than earned her reputation as the Queen of Fences, she was known. She bought stolen items from thieves and pickpockets across the city and beyond and sold them on for a huge profit.
Nice.
And made her millions. She always had a prospective buyer waiting in the wings who knew not to ask too many questions about where certain things had come from, and a steady supply of ill-gotten goods coming into her, what she ran as her little store, which was a front for her criminal network, really. She had a little canned goods store.
Oh, right. So she did have a proper
she
did, front.
She actually had a proper shop.
Oh, yay.
A little canned goods shop.
Love it.
That was a front for this huge network of shenanigans
That's
going
what you
on.
Want. You want a suspicious shop where you walk past and go, did it just say canned goods?
Canned goods.
And it just had labelless cans piled up like, what? Can I have ham?
No, this is full of diamonds.
Was she called Mom because she was the Queen of Crime?
I think it was just an abbreviation of her name, Mendelbaum, type thing.
Okay.
So she preferred things like jewellery and fancy clothes because they were easy to quickly move on.
Yeah.
But she would pretty much take a punt on most things. There's one story that records she once accepted a herd of goats, which had been allegedly stolen during the Great Chicago Fire. Someone had nicked some goats, driven them across country, and Mom went, I know we want them. Bought them for a song, sold them on for a massive profit.
A fixer, as someone who just knows someone who knows someone, great. Also, very important to point out, what era are we in, by the way? What year is this?
We are in sort of the turn of the 20th century.
Great, okay.
Sort of, yeah.
If this was the 90s, that would be weird.
This is not the 90s. We're going back slightly. we're going back. She was born in 1827.
Oh, okay.
1827. Right, she was born Frederica Henrietta Auguste Weisner.
Great.
In Hanover.
Love it.
Prussia. Ooh. I mean, as the saying classically goes, not much is known about her childhood. But what we do know is that in 1848, she marries Wolf Mendelbaum.
Mandelbaum.
Mandelbaum. And 2 years later, in 1850, the young couple, along with their now children in tow, they emigrate from Germany to the US.
Aha!
They move across to New York, where, like a huge number of other people coming from Europe, they settle in New York's Lower East Side. Which is where they find a home.
It's the finest of places.
It's the most, well, at the time, I think it was probably less delightful.
Oh, no, absolutely. It was a slum.
It was.
At the time, a lot of immigrants there. There's a wonderful museum in the Lower East Side Museum all about immigration.
Absolutely.
And everything. But it's now one of our favourite places because it has a lot of history associated with our favourite people and a lovely bar.
And many lovely bars.
Lovely bar.
So we do like it. But at the time, it was not much fun. So she's,
babies in cages out windows.
Yeah, well, she shares an apartment with 15 other people.
Fuck.
in this little apartment. So this is her husband and her four children are sharing with 15 other people.
Jesus.
In this apartment, and they make their money as peddlers.
Okay.
Really, sell rags, scrap, any other odds and ends that they can find on the street. They set up on a little street corner. They have all their wares in bags that they can carry around and easily move on should they get shooed on by the authorities. They work 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, bringing in around $6 a week.
Mm.
Which is not a huge amount, which is not a lot today to house them and their four children.
No, any boomers listening to this, shut the fuck up. That's what we did in those
absolutely,
days.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, I had to find my day.
What, 14 hours down mills?
$6 a week, my luxury, that luxury, was luxury.
Luxury on the streets of New York we were as Yorkshiremen.
But then, in 1857,
mm-hmm.
a financial crisis hits the US.
No!
Is now become known as the Panic of 1857.
Oh, I've never heard of that. That's
wonderful. No, I had not heard of it before, but yes, the Panic of 1857.
And was it called that at the time or retrospectively?
I think only a few years retrospectively, so not like 100 years later, but I think, within a few years it was started to be called
at the
that.
Time, if you announce that, that's not going to go down well.
It's not ideal,
we encourage you all to panic!
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the newspaper, panic starts! It's like, really? I was okay.
I've heard there's panic at the disco.
And so this, the whole panic, it starts with the collapse of the Ohio Life Insurance and Trust Company.
Ooh.
And then it's compounded a few weeks later when a steamship, which is carrying millions and millions of dollars in gold bullion, sinks.
Yeah.
And it's all lost. All this money is lost. And
what's
it's
the problem
like
with gold?
It sort of shakes the financial community, really, and everyone's going, "Ooh, that's not good."
Can you sum it up in a word? No, a noise.
Ooh. Ooh. So that's what panic sounds like, everyone.
That is a very good panic sound. All our stuff is at the bottom of the ocean. Ooh.
Oh no! So I mean, this leads to a 3-year economic depression, in which hundreds of thousands of people are left penniless, homeless. It's terrible. But to dear old mom, the crash means opportunity. Suddenly, there are starving children all over the place.
Okay.
Starving children who pick a pocket or two. And she reaches out to these street urchins.
Okay.
And says, "I'll buy the stuff.
Okay.
That you steal. Come to me. I'll buy it." And so
she's Fagin.
She is.
Oh my God.
She is absolutely a sort of a Fagin character. Yeah. So she buys all this stuff from these kids who are raiding the people who still have money in New York.
Yeah.
And she sells it all on for a modest but respectable profit. Absolutely.
Clever girl.
Yeah, indeed. And so this suddenly transforms her fortunes completely. And she goes from peddler to sort of burgeoning crime boss with an army of, pickpockets at her beck and call.
But good businesswoman sees
absolutely.
She sees
an opportunity. She sees an opportunity.
She writes a hit West End musical that is shelved for many years.
As she starts to get more established and more well known, she starts networking. First of all, at the synagogue, which she goes to, she starts connecting with other more established criminals, and they give her access to yet a wider group of people.
Mm.
So now she's not just with the gangs of young pickpockets, but she's really expanding her operation, and her name is getting known as, this is a woman who will buy stuff.
Yes.
If you've got something to sell, doesn't matter where it's come from, she will buy it, at a fair price.
But she's well connected.
But she's getting well connected. Yeah. Her name is getting out there and it's getting known. And not only amongst the criminal community, but also she meets politicians. She starts meeting, and this is particularly at the synagogue, she starts meeting politicians. They hope that staying in with Mom, because she's getting this reputation, becoming increasingly influential, it will rally the Jewish vote to their side. The sort of thing. How can we get the Jewish vote? We know Mom, she's popular, she's influential.
Yeah.
Get in with her and we'll get the vote. So, but it means her tendrils spread, not just from the criminal element, but she's getting known in fancier areas. And amongst the sort of slightly more well-to-do, her name starts spreading.
Well, it only takes a little bit of time, doesn't it? In a depression, in an economic crisis.
Yeah.
Like, can I sell this stuff to? Someone was willing to buy. Brilliant. Yeah. Excellent. She's got more connections.
Yeah, exactly. And the connections that she makes.
She's taken a risk.
Well, she is, absolutely. Yeah. But the connections she makes through these politicians and into the sorts of higher society gives her people to sell to as well. So she's buying from all these people. But then there are now people who perhaps have got a bit of an income, a bit of a disposable money. They haven't been as affected by the panic as everyone else. So they've got a bit of money and they can afford a bit of jewellery. Yeah. And they're not going to ask, they're going to get it cheaper than they're going to get in the shop. So they're not going to ask too many questions. So now she's got a whole new market of buyers as well, which is, fantastic.
Yes. So, and I must also commend you on the use of the word, her tendrils extend. I am now fully pitching her as an octopus.
She is, indeed.
Yes, or Cthulhu.
One of the
Whichever
two.
You prefer.
One of the two. She drove people mad. As her influence expands, she starts to make herself known at the 8th Ward Thieves Exchange, which is brilliant. I love this.
Explain.
So this is a centre for thieves and fences from across New York.
Of course.
It's set up in the 8th Ward, and this was a fantastic networking opportunity. So, pickpockets, thieves.
They had branding.
They would all come to the exchange to find the best price for their stolen goods.
Sure.
And, it works. But also, her getting her name known there, it also brings in a bit of protection, because the people who run the Thieves Exchange, they are paying off police and the authorities to turn a blind eye.
Right.
So if she gets known there, she now has a level of protection as well from the police who have been paid to go, what? I don't know. What's going on there?
This lovely prayer group. I couldn't possibly bring
I
that
couldn't
up.
Possibly go in there. No, look, I look over there.
I look over there and I've got a bottle of whiskey. No question.
Yeah, absolutely. So, they are paying healthy chunks to, judges, prosecutors, cops, just to turn a blind eye.
It's a great network. It's fascinating how it works. Again, if you're going to try and sell stuff up on the street, you want to go to an area where you're protected, where they can say, okay, come in. Yes, we'll take a cut of your profits. You're not going to be able to do it on your own, but the police aren't going to come knocking.
Yeah.
Oh, the picture you painted.
Yeah, but I mean, there were a few detectives who couldn't be paid off, who were there to do the right thing.
Oh, they were goody two-shoes.
Yeah, goody two-shoes who are not going to look the other way for a bottle of whiskey or anything like that. But Mom, she's ahead of them as well. She sets up dozens of hiding places around the city where she can store her illicit goods. She actually has warehouses set up. So she's got her canned goods store, but she also has a little satellite depots around the city which she can use to sort of squander things away and hide things, and no one knows where they are apart from her and her sort of top lieutenants.
Yeah,
that sort of thing. She has hiding places in her own home. One of them, which is fantastic, is behind the chimney breast.
Mm-hmm.
She creates a false back behind the chimney in which she installs a dumb waiter. So like a dumb waiter that goes up into the chimney. So if anyone is looking, even if they find the false back of the chimney, there's nothing
anything,
there because it's way up. The goods are way up in the chimney. She knows exactly where it is. No one ever finds it. It's brilliant.
Anyone breaks in, they go, what's this rope for? That's ignore that.
Yeah, ignore the work.
That's for the chandelier.
Yeah. It's estimated that as much as $10 million in stolen goods passed through her hands during her career, which is a huge quantity of money. For years, she ran her business pretty much with impunity, really. She knew who to pay off. She knew to get in with the right people, that they would turn a blind eye. She was well known across New York City and beyond, really, throughout the country. Police Chief George Walling wrote his memoir in 1887, which is the recollection of a New York police chief. And he speaks about Mom in his memoir, and he has sort of a grudging respect for the woman. He writes, the ramifications of her business set were so widespread, her ingenuity as an assistant to criminals so nearly approaching genius, that if a silk robbery occurred in St. Louis and the criminals were known as belonging to Malmbaum, she always had the first choice of the swag. So, yeah, across the country, people knew her, and she had fingers in all the pies.
All the pies. Yeah. And she had a nice sideline in pies absolutely. Well, I bet.
But people knew it was her. So this is the police chief writing, knowing it was her, but we can do nothing about it.
But that's it. What's she going to do? She's moving stolen goods. How can you prove where they've come from? Well, how many people are going to be filing complaints? Oh, my wallet was stolen. Well, there's nothing we can do about that, is there? Mm. These goods have been shipped around. They moved from hand to hand to hand. She's clearly moving them along pretty quickly.
Pretty quick, absolutely. And she's not stealing anything herself. No. She's not getting involved.
Just taking a tidy profit.
Yeah, exactly.
Not greedy.
So, I mean, by her 40s, she's a well-established crime boss. Mm. She's now a widow. Her husband has passed away. He seems to be doing fuck all, but he has died.
And he fell into the Hudson.
Yeah. She has to support her four children. They are now aged between 8 and 15.
Uh-huh.
So she's got to look after her kids. So this only makes her more determined to make more money. To make more money, to make a better life for her children. Aww. So she's absolutely adamant that they're going to be taken care of.
I bet you they're going to be really feckless wasters when they grow up as well. Well, yeah, but you come from nothing and you've experienced poverty. Then she's probably thinking all that matters is that my kids get the money. They get looked after and taken care of.
Well, I mean, one of us, she had two sons and two daughters. One of the sons followed her into the business and sort of learned the trade. Mm. One of the daughters ended up marrying a politician.
Nice.
And things and sort of sweeping her family behind under the carpet.
Used to be being looked after, clearly. Thing. Yeah.
So they did all manner of things, but she was adamant, especially the daughters, were not going to be involved in the criminal way of life. They were going to have a better life.
Oh, that's a bit of a shame, really. So, well, no, that, not that you should be a criminal, but if she's head of the underworld, say, no, daughters, just marry and that'll be fine.
Exactly.
I have crafted an entire business out of this and everyone fears me, but get yourself a husband. Bit easier.
Get yourself a nice husband.
Maybe she just wanted a happy life for them.
Yeah, well, exactly. And she knew it was hard work. What she did was not an easy life to live.
And you know what? Life is hard work, Nick.
Well, if it doesn't have to be, then crack on.
Yeah, I mean, you go through a depression, then you're like, just take what you can, love. Take what you can. And that's a good lesson as well. Ladies, take what you can.
Absolutely. Her involvement with the New York underworld, it's an open secret. Everyone knows exactly what she's doing, but she always maintains this distance, as we've said. Never steals anything herself. Always got the places to hide stuff. City newspapers call her the nucleus and center of the whole organization of crime in New York City.
Ooh.
But no one can prove it.
No. Yeah. You got to really build a case, because otherwise what? She'll go to jail for 3-5 years, maybe, for something, get straight back out. The whole network is still continuing.
Yep, it's still out there.
You're
going to
pull the whole system down, haven't you? They clearly haven't watched Goodfellas.
So, I mean, as her wealth and her reputation spreads, she starts thinking about what is going to become of her empire. She can't carry on doing this forever. What is going to happen? Say, she doesn't want her children to inherit it. She wants them to enjoy the spoils of her hard life. And she wants them to have a grand old time. So she decides she has to find a successor. She has to find someone who can take on this role.
Okay.
Not a relation, someone she can train, someone who can carry on the mantle when she decides to give it up.
I like it.
So she starts a school.
Sorry, what? What? That was not where I thought you were going with this.
She starts a school.
A school?
In 1870, Mom's Grand Street School opens. It's just around the corner from the police headquarters. And the school has the sole aim of passing and training the future criminals of New York.
What?
So she takes children from the street, orphans, whoever wants to join, really, and teaches them how to become pickpockets, how to become thieves, how she offers additional training in how to be in con artistry, blackmail, safe cracking for the more advanced students. I mean, the school welcomes both men and women. Mm. It is one of the first coeducational schools in the 19th century. Good for Mom. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it churns out a steady stream of professional thieves into New York.
I can well believe it. But did it have a curriculum? Was there a timetable? Was there a big bell? People running, oh, sorry, I can't stay in chat, you know, by the lockers. I've got to get to pickpocketing today.
Well, I would assume it must have been a fairly strict sort of.
Well, I guess. So, yeah. So you're going to learn these things.
You've got to learn these. Yeah, you've got to learn these skills.
Yeah. What a great school.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh, has a book been written about that?
Oh, I'm
so
be.
Sick of all the dragon school and magic school bullshit that's out there right now.
This is just a pure crime school.
Crimes, pickpockety school. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we need.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
So, the school lasts for 6 years.
This is quite good going.
Which is good going.
They have a few summer fates. They have a big fundraiser.
It only closes. Mom herself decides to shut the whole thing down when she discovers that a senior police officer's son has enrolled.
Sorry, I'm picturing him there in a full Bobby's outfit, even though he's American. Turned up. Hello.
Now, maybe it's not thought that he was like undercover or anything like that. He thought he was like rebelling potentially from his parents, but his father was this sort of senior officer in the New York Police Department.
Okay, fair enough.
Said, well, no, we can't risk
this
getting out, this compromising everything that we built up. The whole thing gets shut down.
Like it.
So, but I mean, they've had a really good run of producing criminals for the future, really. And one of those star pupils is Sophie Lyons. Now, Mom sees something in Sophie, and the young thief quickly becomes her protege, really. She trains as a sneak thief, a con artist, a blackmailer. Sophie herself earns the nickname the Princess of Crime.
Oh, I like it. So, yes, the Queen's daughter.
On one occasion, she's able to talk herself out of being arrested when she's caught stealing red-handed. I like this. She lies to the police, claiming that, well, the real Sophie Lyons would never be caught so easily. That she never... She is a hardened criminal. You would never catch her. I'm her. She's a thousand times
Don't
better
be
than me.
A fool.
Don't
oh,
be
that's
stupid.
So good.
You'd never catch her as easily as you've caught me. And it seems to work. And the police go, oh, yeah, you're probably not home. Okay.
That's worthy of a novel. That's what they go, like, me? You think and she, I'm Sophie Lyons? She
walks away to steal another day.
Yay!
Which is brilliant.
Love her. Love
brilliant
her
instantly. Brilliant bit of blagging. I need a drink. I've been talking.
Drink break?
It's time for a drink.
I think it's time for a drink.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So, Nick, we have our drinks.
We have our drinks.
Clinky,
drinks.
Clinky, clinky.
Yum, yum, yum. Back onto Mom.
Back onto Mom and her protege.
And her protege. Now, Mom, as we know, she has a huge number of sort of criminal associates throughout New York City. But she is thought to be the brains behind many of the great thefts across New York, really. She has had a hand in planning and plotting. So we've already covered Adam Worth, who I mentioned earlier, who became known as the Napoleon of crime when he moved over to Europe. He worked with Mom in his early days.
Yes.
Then you have the like of George Leslie, the king of bank robbers, who reportedly carried out or planned 80% of the US's bank robberies by the end of the 19th century.
I mean,
So he had a hand in, 80% of all robberies across the country.
I suppose you have to think about it, is that they're not going to be directly involved in everything.
Yeah,
but it's
going to be offering
like
some advice.
Consultancy.
Consultancy, absolutely.
Yeah, people that come to you and say, okay, we'll give you a cut, but also do we do this? Right, go in that door, do that.
How do we get through this particular safe? Yes. How do we get through those particular security or whatever?
Don't go through the front door, guns blazing. Yeah. Find a back way. That'll be £30,000, please. Yeah. Why are you dealing in pounds? Because, shut up.
Yeah, I mean, you also have a huge number of lesser known but fantastically titled thieves as well, really. So you've got the likes of Big Mary, Queen Liz.
Nice.
Old Mother Hubbard. She was a grand
old.
She lived in a cupboard, pickpocketing anyone who came by. Kid Glove Rose.
Oh, not a kid. Treat her with kid gloves.
Yeah, Kid Glove Rose. You have a chap called Michael Kurtz, who was known as Sheeny Mike.
Sheeny Mike.
Yeah, it was a pickpocket.
I can't make that work.
Like
Sheeny,
I don't know.
It's shit. Sorry.
Yeah, well, he was known as Sheeny Mike. Abraham Grenthal, who was known as General Grenthal.
Gentle Grenthal. Oh, that's quite good.
And so, yeah.
I quite like that. So, I can get on board with that.
Get on that one. So, in 1886, there's a police inspector, a chap called Thomas Burns. He writes a book called Professional Criminals of America. And he lists all of these people and a great many others, known associates of Frederica Mendelbaum. The book also takes advantage of the new mugshots that police are taking when they arrest people. And he creates like a rogues gallery in this book. There are 204 of the city's professional criminals listed. They've got their mugshot there and a little bio underneath about all the characteristics and what they've been nicked for in the past and things like that.
Like a reverse yearbook.
Yeah, and this is published. Everyone goes, oh, I've seen them. flicking through this book.
Oh, that'd be sensational, that book.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds great. Now, I mean, Mom, she knows all these people. She works with them and she's extremely loyal to these people. Well, I mean, they are her bread and butter. All these people, they are responsible for her income and her rise through the ranks, really. George Walling, the police chief, writes in his memoir, she attained a reputation as a businesswoman whose honesty in criminal matters was absolute. So yeah, she was a trustworthy, respectable person to criminals. So she didn't try and do the dirty on people. She made a deal. She honoured the deal. She offered people a fair price on things they stole. So yeah, she wasn't trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes.
It's the same as we've seen with Adam Worth. It was her protege. Again, he was very kind of like, don't drink and like, you know, kind of straight edge as well. Not going to go, I'm going to be greedy and roll around on all these things. And those people get caught very quickly.
Yeah.
It is a means to an end. Yeah, let's build up an empire. Let's be a business person about this.
So, definite honour amongst thieves in this environment.
Well, that's what wins at the end of the day. If you're going to be a dick, then someone's going to betray you and stab you in the head.
Her eventual obituary in the New York Times noted her success was in great measure due to her friendship for her loyalty to the thieves with whom she did business.
Love that.
Yeah. She never betrayed her customers, her clients, her suppliers. When they got into trouble, she procure bail for them. She did all she could to help these people. She sets up a fund that becomes known as the Bureau for the Protection of Criminals, which is used to pay bail, to fund lawyers and all this for all the people who need that help, who can't do it themselves. The Brooklyn Daily Eagle called her a most respectable and philanthropic receiver of stolen goods in New York.
You keep your friends close and your enemies even closer. Yeah. Treat people well.
Treat people well. They're not going to stab you in the back and they're not going to go behind you.
It seems like her whole business was about connections, about making acquaintances, talking to people. You're not going to win if you're seen to be stabbing people in the back.
Absolutely,
You catch more flies with honey than with vinegar.
Exactly. But all good things must come to an end.
No, they don't.
As they say. No. The New York authorities had decided once and for all that she needs to be put out of business. We cannot continue with this. The district attorney, a chap called Peter Olney, decides that they cannot trust their own police force because so many of them are taking backhanders. So he outsources the whole thing.
Okay.
To our dear old friends, the Pinkerton Agency.
The Pinkerton Agency.
One agent, a chap called Gustav Frank. Mm-hmm. He is one of their best undercover men. He infiltrates Mom's organization. Over the course of a couple of months, he works his way close to Mom to set up a sting operation. He knows that a particular clothier is going to get robbed. Okay. And he arranges for several bolts of silk to be marked to have particular identifying characteristics put on them.
Okay.
The store
so
is...
They just wrote their name across it. So again, this silk looks shit. Sorry. Police silk.
Police silk. Police silk. Police silk. It's all black and white striped. And things.
Yeah.
This store is... it is dutifully broken into and the silk is stolen. Gustav witnesses the thieves selling this stolen silk onto Mom. Mm. She has now been in receipt of stolen goods.
There it is.
They can prove that silk came from that shop that was broken into. Gotcha, red-handed. Before the goods can be moved on, her home is raided.
Right.
And the detectives find the stolen goods inside, which gives them cause to raid a whole other host of things. More and more stuff
domino effect
is is discovered, and is the domino effect. Mom quickly realizes that she has been set up. She punches Gustav Frank in the face, yelling, "You are the one who was at the bottom of this, you wretch!"
Wretch!
And smacks him in the face.
I bet you that was edited for the newspapers.
Very possibly.
She was probably pummeling him to the ground. You go, like various expletives. Everyone was like, "We're just going to put wretch."
Yes, this rat that. It's now all over the news. All over the papers that Frederica Mendelbaum has been arrested. She has evaded authorities for so long, so many years, but now they've got her. She's going to be brought to justice. At the time of her arrest, she has the attorneys William F. Howe and Abraham Hummel on retainer. She's paying them $5,000 a year.
Oh, bloody hell.
Which is a lot of money for their services to get her and her little immediate circle out of any trouble that may arise. Now, when I was researching this, the article said, like, the infamous William F. Howe and Abraham Hummel. And I thought,
infamous?
Why are they infamous? I've not heard of them
before. Not much. Yeah,
so then I had to Google them. No fuck they are.
Oh, really?
So I'm going to go on a slight aside here.
No, go for it. Yeah, yeah.
So they are well known for representing New York's underworld.
Nice.
Many, many gangs and criminals have them on retainer as well. William Howe, he handles most of the criminal defense work. He works on over 600 murder trials defending. People are charged with murder.
Okay.
He is known for his very dramatic style in court. He has this ability to weep on cue.
Love it.
He cries on cue while giving a most impassioned defense sort
interpretive
of
dance.
Absolutely. One of his regular opponents that he is up against suspected that he's using an onion-scented handkerchief to help sort of get him in the mood for this. So he'll get up from his desk,
just dab his
eyes with his onion handkerchief and then start bawling his eyes out.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
One day he messes it up and he just rubs an onion in his face. This onion has been terribly abused.
he once delivered a 2-hour closing argument.
Shut the fuck up.
On his knees.
Literally.
In front of the jury box. Crying with his handkerchief on his knees. This impassioned plea for his client.
I cannot tell you how much I love that. And it is unnecessary and annoying. But do it. The old-timey, well-oiled machine of crying. I implore you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. It's usually a southern gentleman who's doing it, you know. But
There's one brilliant case. And I will go back to Mom soon, I promise.
Okay, please do. I love
but
this. I love
he is representing a woman, Ella Nelson, who has been accused of murder. She's been accused of shooting her lover. Now, she has been discovered after a huge argument, shouting argument. The police have been called. She is discovered with a revolver in her hand and her lover dead on the floor. Something of a slam dunk, so people might think, really.
If years of this podcast have taught us nothing, Nick.
But no, William Howe is there. He successfully persuades the jury that, yes, she had been holding a revolver, but she had only meant to threaten him. Her finger
slipped
on the trigger,
shot
her lover 4 times.
I was with you.
Each one a little slip of the finger. 4 holes blasted in her married lover. She was acquitted.
Brilliant.
She got away.
Of course she was.
Scot-free.
Yep. Fell down an elevator shaft onto some bullets.
Onto some bullets.
Love it. I'll tell you. And aside afterwards.
Yeah.
I've got
one more. You can cut this later if you want. So there's again a chap, Edward Unger, who has confessed to the murder of his lodger.
Yeah.
Murdered his lodger, cut up his body, threw half of it into the East River, posted the other half to Baltimore.
Nice. Okay.
I'm not sure where in Baltimore, or just to the city of Baltimore. Here you go, have some bits.
Really fucking hated Baltimore. You know what, Baltimore? You bet me off the last time.
Prosecutor, he's confessed. So there's prosecutors going, yes, fine, easy, I can get this one.
He's William just rubbing Howell his stands hands. Up. You're doing the braces motion, aren't you? Well, and gentlemen, why is he Southern? I don't know.
Let's see what's going on there. He gets up, surprises everyone by denying that his client has anything to do with this murder.
Love it.
Was not him. There is some hilarity in the courtroom. He then turns it slightly. It was his 7-year-old daughter.
No.
7-year-old daughter who is sitting on his client's lap at this point.
Not even his kid.
It was the daughter who did the murdering.
And he's been defending.
Only for fear about what would happen to this child if she had been discovered that she had murdered and chopped someone up and then posted them. that her father felt obliged that he had to confess to protect his daughter.
To protect her.
Protect his daughter, absolutely. From first-degree murder, he got away with manslaughter.
Jesus Christ. I should never be on a jury because I would have believed that 100%. Yeah. I'd be sitting there going, no, what?
Well, so did most of the jury, apparently. So, yeah, he got away with manslaughter on that one rather than first-degree murder for killing someone, chopping them up, throwing them in a river. Because the 7-year-old daughter did it.
The only thing I'll say is my darling dad was a lawyer before he was a broadcaster and like was a journalist. And he studied American and English law, and he went to Harvard for a time, and he was mainly industrial law. But he talked about the criminal cases he was on, and he just said the scary thing is how easy it is to get someone off.
Yeah.
And he'd worked with people. He'd worked on really complicated ones and had to study them. And was saying, just with the power of just being a really good lawyer, how you can get people off. And as you've said, it's just so easy.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many. These people might actually be a good Patreon episode.
Yeah,
there are so many stories about how these people go. Because so how did the sort of the criminal stuff, his partner did sort of more of the corporate stuff. And he was famous for getting people off on technicalities.
Weird little loopholes
in laws and stuff like that, that he was able to, wangle these various things. But fantastic. Anyway, so back to mom. Back to mom.
Back to mom.
We should concentrate on mom. So during the sort of the pre-trial,
aye,
how he does his best to argue her innocence. Absolutely nothing. Yep, she's innocent of all things. He tries to discredit the Pinkerton agency and Gustav Frank. Really, I mean, he suggests that Gustav, he is no better than a criminal himself. Mm. How does he know so much about the murky world of the New York crime gangs? How does he know how it all works? How does he know what's going on? An honest, decent chap wouldn't know so much about the criminal world. Oh, so he must be dodgy himself.
Oh, that's nasty. Yeah. I don't like that.
Bail is set at the extraordinary amount, $10,000. Now, this is a time where bail for someone indicted for murder is $500. She is charged. Her bail is set at $10,000. She pays him.
I love her. It minks.
And she is free to fight the charges outside jail. There is round-the-clock surveillance. Pinkerton agents are not being subtle now. There's about five of them outside her house with binoculars. Just 24 hours a day, staring. She vanishes.
No, they all had them round the wrong way. How
do
these work?
Oh, she's really very, very far away.
Very far away. And there's just one of her stooges upstairs undressing in a bra every day. La, 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 la. Wow.
Now, on the morning of the 4th of December in 1884, lawyer is waiting in court for his client. She simply fails to. The Times writes, and this is brilliant, District Attorney Olney sat sternly imposing. Mr. Howe was plumply serene and ponderously gracious.
Plumply serene.
Plumply serene and please, ponderously gracious.
I think that's also a t-shirt for us.
Yes. I like that. I might take that on for myself. Come, please, Rudine. The well-dressed gentlemen in the audience folded up their papers, directed their gaze to the various doors in the room in the fond anticipation of Mrs. Frederica Mendelbaum stalking into the room in the manner of which is peculiarly her own. Frederica Mendelbaum, the words seemed to float over the heads of the merchants. There was no answer. Dead silence reigned. Then a little sound of something like disappointment was heard in the court, and lawyer Mr. Howe rose to his feet, saying, "The defendants are not here, Your Honour. I believe Mrs. Mendelbaum acted upon Mark Twain's theory that the absence of body is often better than the presence of mind." which I love that.
Other lawyer just goes, "Oh, fuck off. Fuck off with your Mark Twain. He's not perfect, you bastard. I'm losing this case."
She flees to Canada. She is able to live out the rest of her life in Ontario. She works in a hat shop.
Oh my God. It's the dream.
As a law-abiding citizen.
She's a clever girl.
Yeah. But she misses her life back in New York.
Of course.
Dreadfully. Shortly before her death in 1894, she supposedly said, "I would gladly forfeit every penny of my wealth in order to once again breathe freely the atmosphere of the 13th Ward."
Oh, my God.
Her body is returned to New York to rest in their family pot in Queens. Her funeral was attended by hundreds, including friends, old cops, old enemies, aging felons.
Respectful.
Absolutely respectful, indeed. They all come to, pay their respects to Mother Mendelbaum. Then, after the funeral, many of the mourners make their way to the police station to report that their pockets have been picked at Mom's grave.
From beyond the grave, she still ruled. Or everyone was like, "Well, that's there's a fine.
Big old crowd there."
That's not a crowd you want to go to. Like, you go, A, I want to pay my respects. B, there's people I do not want to see in that group. I am going to be assaulted in many ways.
Yeah.
Could be a party, you know, so don't bring your valuables.
Don't bring your valuables, indeed. That's the fantastic story of Frederica Mendelbaum.
I love it.
Queen of fences.
Queen of fences. What a brilliant story. Again, another example of a criminal, wasn't too greedy.
Yeah.
Just was a businesswoman. Businesswoman. Of course she broke the law, and that's not all right. That's not all right. But just wanted a means to an end. You know, didn't want to live the high life and was like getting too greedy like all of the other kind of thieves and murderers, it turned out in the end. Wanted to get enough to get by, to provide for her
children.
I bet her children were really feckless. I bet they were not teaching because she worked so hard. And
One of them was arrested alongside her in the sting. So one of her sons was arrested, and I don't actually know what happened to him. If he managed to escape with his mother, or he went to trial.
Oh, he wanted to carry on the family business.
But yeah, but both her daughters went on to marry. And live nice lives.
At the end, I feel bad for Ontario at the end of it. Because Ontario's bloody lovely, but she's there going in Canada. It's not the same as New York.
It's not the same as New York.
I'll take back this maple syrup. Ontario's the nicest place. It's wonderful and beautiful. And like, okay, you know what? I know it's not New York. Mrs. Criminal, got a lot of choice on your hands, do you? No, you don't. So maybe shut up. They would never say that because Canadians are so nice. Oh, absolutely, you're right. No, it's not as good as news. What a great story. Love a gang boss and a female crime boss. Well overdue. The lawyers as well.
The lawyers are brilliant.
The lawyers are great. It's very sad just how easy it is to get people off of crimes. And it's still true today. Yeah. It's all loopholes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And performance art.
Performance and loopholes.
On your knees crying. I actually recommend anyone do this in an HR meeting as well. If anyone accuses you of anything, get on your knees and cry for 2 hours.
Get your onion handkerchief out.
Well, there we go. What do you think, people? What do you think of the story of Frederica Mendelbaum? And you did really enjoy saying her name when
Mendelbaum.
You did say it.
Yeah.
Mendelbaum.
Mendelbaum. It's a good name.
Wonderful. The crime boss, a crime boss of New York, one of many. What do you think of her methods? What do you think her motivation was? Do you think she was just a pure businesswoman? Do you think it's been distorted over the years and that she was really greedy? Or do you think she just had her sights on protecting her children and having a few furs on the way?
Quite a few.
Yes. Also, if you're from New York as well, maybe you know more about her story and you know more about the various gangs in the area, and maybe there's fodder for future stories. Tell us what you think. Jump on the comments of this episode. Tell us your thoughts, your theories, your feelings. But most importantly, while you're musing, you must mix up a silk rose.
It was damn lovely.
It was lovely.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a very clever cocktail.
I like that one a lot.
A lot. Let's have another.
Let's
have nine more.
Yeah.
And just the nine.
And it's not that, it's not got many obscure things, so...
By now you should have Benedictine.
Benedictine, yeah, a bit of a weird one potentially, but...
But it always works.
Yeah, exactly.
Benedictine always works, so I'd say if you're going to invest on a weirdie...
Get them.
Substitute it for chartreuse. I know Nick will go, no, don't ever do that. Just do it. Mix up the cocktail. Send us pictures of the cocktails you are enjoying over the weekend. Please tag us on social media, particularly Instagram, where we're most prominent. If you're on TikTok as well, please tag us on different videos. We are on Facebook and we have our wonderful book group on Facebook, the Belladonna Book Club. This is a group that is open to all listeners of the show. If you love books, if you want to share what you're reading and have a chat with other listeners of the show, please join it. It is a wonderful, lovely place to be part of. If you can as well, please leave us a review on Apple iTunes and do follow us on the social media channels we've mentioned as well. Please follow us on YouTube. We are trying to put more content out on there and we'd love to have suggestions from you about what extra content you'd like to see from the Poisonous Cabinet. If we can do it, we will try. And we're building up to episode 200.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, 10 away. 10 weeks, but 10
It'll be here before you know it.
Well, we need a biggie. We need a biggie.
Yeah, we really do.
We really do. So start thinking, people, what haven't we covered? Yeah. What could we covered? What happens in season 5? Really need your feedback on this because we need to make sure
we're running out of murderers.
Crimes, crazy crimes.
We're running out of crazy crimes.
Maybe we do fabulous outfits.
Fabulous. Season 5 is all about fashion.
Well, there's a lot of small stories about murderers, so we do that and then some fashion.
Yes. Have you seen complete random nonsense? Have you seen, it comes up on my TikTok, Gwendolyn Christie did a fashion show.
Oh my, iconic.
In the Paris.
So
I think.
Good.
And it's just like, oh, that's
amazing. It is stunning.
Stunning.
Like, it's a work of art. She is
absolutely
a work of art.
Amazing.
Maybe it's just we do a small murder story and then we talk about that.
we talk about fashion.
I don't think everyone would love that, but that's the After Dark special that we may be starting. But do send us your suggestions and your good thoughts. Thanks for listening, guys. We have been the people inside the Poisonous Cabinet. We will see you next week. And remember, your loved ones are trying to kill you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.